But as I said, we're going to look at Psalms 1, and I'm just going to read it. I'm going to kind of read it in chunks. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to start with Psalms 101. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. Blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans, and their purposes, nor stands submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. You know, we have to ask ourselves, do we live in the counsel of the ungodly? You know, a lot of times people hear that and they'll think, no, of course I don't live in the counsel of the ungodly. Do we sit around talking about our life's challenges or different things that we're going through with coworkers who have no real relationship with God? I mean, so many people do that. They sit around and they're talking about their life with people who have no relationship with God whatsoever. Yeah, they might have on a cross, but they don't really know God. They don't really have a relationship with God. And so all of the information, all the ideas that they're giving us aren't biblically based. And so we really have to watch that. Are we sitting in the counsel of the ungodly? Are we sitting there talking and discussing things with people and taking their advice from people who have no true relationship with God? And the other thing that I think is interesting, do we sit down and relax with the mockers? You know, a lot of times people are like, well, no, I don't sit down and relax with mockers. But do we sit down and relax with gossips? You know, we might not join in with them, but we sit there and we listen to them as they mock and they gossip about people. You know, what does that have to do with focusing our thoughts? You know, Sister Mary, you're off task. You know, what does that have to do with focusing our thoughts? It goes back to our eye gate and our ear gate. Whatever we let into our minds, whatever we let into our thoughts, you know, we're constantly allowing these different things into our minds. And we have to ask ourselves, what are we filling our minds with? What are we allowing our minds to meditate on, to focus on? Every single thing that comes into our minds, whether it's through our eyes or through our ears, it's coming in and our brains are processing it. You know, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And there are so many mental processes going on in our brains that we don't even understand. You know, science, all science is just man's way of trying to explain what God created. That's it. And, you know, science is still trying to figure out how the brain works, still trying to figure out all the different processes that the brain can be doing at one time. And so when we're allowing these things into our mind, you know, as a man thinketh, so is he. Whatever is going on in your mind, those things are going to totally affect every single area of your life. You know, there's a computer term called GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. Whatever you put in, that's what you're going to get out. If you put in garbage, you're going to get out garbage. And a lot of times people put in garbage and they want to get out roses. You know, they're putting in, they're listening to all types of music that's negative. They're watching all types of television programs that are negative, and then they're wondering how come they don't have a positive outlook on life. Well, you're not going to have a positive outlook on life if every single input you get is telling you that life isn't all that it's cracked up to be. You're going to have a really negative outlook on life if every input that you get in is negative, negative, negative. Okay, let's continue on with the first psalm that we were reading earlier. Now we're going to read Psalms 1, 2, and 3. His delight and desire. They're talking about the person who doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful or sit with mockers. His delight and desire are in the law of the Lord, and on his law, the precepts, the instructions, the teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and by night. And he shall be like a tree firmly planted and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not fade or wither, and everything he does shall prosper and come to maturity. You know, when we look at this scripture, we might say, you know, why don't their leaves wither? But the Bible is saying that their leaves don't wither because they are tended or they're taken care of and renewed and refreshed by the streams of living water. And, you know, that's just like I was talking about earlier. When we meditate on God's word, when we're always connected to God, and we take that time out to really meditate, we're refilling ourselves. We're filling ourselves up with this stream of living water. And so our brains are able to be at peace and at ease. Hallelujah. You know, I love this other scripture. I'm just going to read one more psalm, and then we're going to go ahead and move on to our next question. But the Psalms have so much, just so many things in there that are so good for just starting to have some peace and some joy in your life. If you're really struggling with peace, I would definitely recommend that you just go through and read the Psalms. You know, every night, just read a different Psalm before you go to bed instead of watching the news and filling your brain with all the bad things that have happened today. You know, just go before you go to bed, open up your Bible and read a Psalm, especially if you have issues with nightmares. I know a lot of people have issues with nightmares where they can't sleep because they're stressed. You know, you'd be amazed how many Christians are struggling with not being able to sleep or having nightmares every time they go to bed. And it's because they're filling their minds, you know, right before they go to sleep, they want to turn on the news. Well, if you're filling your brain with all the bad things that happened to someone else today that you cannot even change or affect, if they're not, you know, all this negative stuff, then you're going to have negative dreams. But I would just recommend, you know, before you go to bed, open up the book of Psalms and read a different psalm every single night before you go to sleep. But I'm reading Psalm 48 and 9. Oh God, we meditate on your unfailing love as we worship in your temple. Hallelujah. We meditate on your unfailing love. You know, are we filling our minds with thoughts of God? You know, thoughts of his love for us, of his promises, of his teaching. You know, are we filling our minds of the thoughts of miracles that he's already done in our lives or things that he's done in the lives of others? And we've all heard testimonies of different things that God's done. And if we really sit and think, we can think of the different things that he's done in our own lives personally. You know, are we meditating on those things? That's something that's helped me so much. Whenever a problem would strike, I would just stop. You know, and I, as a lot of you know, I keep a prayer journal. And so I write down my prayers, and I write down when God answers the prayer. I have a praise column right next to my prayer column, and I write out the date and how God answered that prayer. And so whenever something, a challenge in my life would hit, I would just go open up my prayer journal and read all the answered prayers. And wow, you know, just sit there and worship the Lord and thank him for all the things that he's already done. And that would build my faith because I would say, hey, you know, if he came through for me over here, he'll do it again. But, you know, if we don't write those things down, if we don't slow down enough to just sit there and think about them, you know, even if we haven't written them down, just slow down and just think back to some of the things God has done in our lives. You know, think back to the way our lives looked before we were saved. Think back to all the things that he's already brought us through. Then if we don't slow down enough to do that, sometimes our faith can begin to waver because for some reason we forget all the things that God's already done in our lives. But, you know, if we just slow down and focus on that and focus on filling our mind with him instead of filling our minds with, you know, fear and problems of the world and our task list and just all these different things that we always fill our mind with. You know, something else that God said to me and one time, and I thought, wow, you know, it was just something that was so out. I knew I didn't come up with it because it didn't make sense to me at first. I don't know if you've ever had one of those instances where something comes to your mind and you're like, okay, that doesn't make any sense. But I was I just always felt like I just didn't have time. I didn't have time. I didn't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. You know, I need to read my Bible, but I don't have time. I need to spend time with God, but I don't have time. And God just spoke to me one day. He was like, you know what? You have time poverty mentality. And I thought, I have time poverty mentality? What does that even mean? And, you know, a lot of people have poverty mentality. They always think that they don't have any money. And so, you know, the way that they treat their money and the way that you know, they can't tithe because they don't have money, and they can't, you know, do all these different things because they don't have money, but they don't realize that if they would do some different things with their money, they would have more of it. So they have this poverty mentality that feels like they will never have any money. Well, I had that same outlook on my time. You know, I had time poverty mentality. I always felt like I didn't have time. And so I never did the things that would give me more time because I always felt like I didn't have time for them. You know, I didn't have time to make out a task list so I could be more organized. I didn't have time to spend time in the presence of God so I could be refilled and so that God could speak to me about my schedule. I just didn't have time. And, you know, a lot of times we feel like we don't have time, and really that's just a tool of the enemy. It's just another way of him deceiving us into not spending time with God. You know, this is something that I've been talking about in the School of the Spirit because we're doing that course on controlling your thoughts. But a lot of the thoughts that are in our minds, we don't even realize it, but those thoughts aren't necessarily ours. Many times those are thoughts that Satan's just kind of slyly sneaking into our thoughts that he wants us to think are ours when they weren't ours at all. And so many times this fear that we're going to run out of time, this fear that we're just going to be overtired and we just don't have time to spend time with the Lord, it's a tool of Satan to just distract us and to keep us out of the presence of God. Okay, now we're going to go on to question two. I hope that I answered question one and that people really feel like they got something out of that. We're going to go on to question two. I actually moved the original question two. Again, if you were here in the last class, I did this last time as well. But I moved the original question two, which was about fear. About unforgiveness. I moved that to be the last question. And it looks like we probably will not get to that question today. But we'll definitely get to that next time. So our next question is on mental strongholds. And the question is, how do you tear down strongholds that try to keep you from drawing closer to God, such as depression, anxiety, having family that always talk negative, etc.? You know, this is a very good question. This is kind of some of the things that I was alluding to earlier in the lesson. More people than we realize have issues with depression and anxiety. You know, one of the things that we don't think about a lot of times, when we look at depression and anxiety, they're actually the exact opposite of two of the fruits of the Spirit. They're the exact opposites of joy and peace. And, you know, this is like a quick side note. I'm actually thinking about doing a course for the School of the Spirit on the fruits of the Spirit and how they fill the holes that we have in our lives, because I think that's so key. A lot of times we don't even realize that whatever we're struggling with, whether it be anxiety or fear or unforgiveness, we don't even realize that there's a specific fruit of the Spirit that we can receive through spending time with God and spending time with His Spirit. That's actually the answer to our problem. You know, we feel like we have to battle it all on our own. You know, we feel like we're looking at ourselves and we're thinking, you know, I don't have enough joy or I don't have enough peace. Or we're thinking, you know, I have all this anxiety or all this fear or all this unforgiveness. And so, you know, we begin to feel guilty and we feel like less like a Christian because we can't muster up this joy or this peace or this faith that we feel like we're supposed to have as a Christian. And, you know, other people may not feel like that, but that at least, that was the way that I felt, you know, about it until God revealed the truth about the fruits of the Spirit to me and really made them come alive to me, because before they just kind of seemed like words on a page. So I'll actually be posting something in the celebration blog just to ask people's opinions of if they think that would be a course they'd be interested in. But that's just like a side note. As I was saying, depression and anxiety, really they're the fruits of the world. You know, joy and peace are the fruits of the Spirit, but depression and anxiety are fruits of the world. And they're the result of us living in a simple world and being surrounded by darkness pretty much on all sides of us. You know, even when I was battling with depression myself, and I, you know, technically I had chemical depression, I had clinical depression, they were saying it was a chemical imbalance and all these things, but even though they were saying it was a chemical imbalance, when I started to meditate on God's word, when I started to do some of the other things that we're going to talk about today, that depression and anxiety lifted. So I'm not telling people to go and just get off of their medication, but I'm saying that just because someone said that you have a chemical imbalance doesn't necessarily mean that God's word is not the key and the cure for what you're going through. Let's start off by reading Philippians 4:4-9. And we're going to read it in chunks again. So let's start off. Rejoice in the Lord always. Delight, gladden yourselves in Him. Again, I say rejoice. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know, we've all heard that scripture before. And I really love this scripture. But a lot of times, you know, we hear this scripture and we always hear the second part of the scripture, you know, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your heart and your mind. You know, I've memorized that scripture because, like I said, I had to memorize a lot of different scriptures like that when I was struggling in the past. And, you know, we often hear that part. But a lot of times we don't realize that it's an if-then statement. You know, if you submit all of your problems to the Lord in prayer and then you follow that prayer up with praise and thanksgiving, then you will have peace. You know, the peace isn't something that automatically comes. And a lot of times we don't realize that. We just expect to be overwhelmed with this peace, and we don't realize that it's a conditional peace. You know, there are directions beforehand before it says, and then God's peace shall be yours. So we have to do what it says at the beginning. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but instead, in everything, in every circumstance, in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. You know, God spoke to me one day and he said, you know, when I was reading the scripture, prayer plus praise equals peace. Prayer plus praise equals peace. You know, when you pray and you praise, you'll have peace. But not only do we have to do something to get that peace, we actually have to do something to keep it. And Paul tells us what we have to do in the next verse. And this is so key, you know, when we're talking about anxiety and depression and things like that. This scripture is so key to keeping our peace. You know, once we've established some peace, sometimes we establish some peace and then all of a sudden the peace goes and we can't figure out where the peace went or how we lost the peace. And I think this scripture is so important. It says, for the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your minds on them. You know, I think that's so important because a lot of times we can become so distracted by the different things going on in the world that we don't realize that we're supposed to be keeping our mind focused on the things that are praiseworthy, focused on the things that are of good report. You know, whatever's of good report, keep your mind focused on those things. If we want to experience peace and joy, then we have to begin taking more control over what we allow into our brains. You know, I used to speak that scripture over and over again. I had it memorized. I will always speak it over and over again because I had to remind myself that in order to receive the victory that God promised me in his word over my thoughts, that it required action. You know, we live in a fallen world. Everything left to its own devices will begin to favor the negative. You know, it's because we live in a fallen world. You know, if you don't take care of your garden, it's going to end up overrun with weeds. If you don't raise your children and you don't take time with your children, they'll end up unruly and belligerent. If you neglect your marriage, then it'll end up falling apart. Whatever, you know, everything in this world, automatically, if it's not tended to, if it's not taken care of, if there is no action taken upon it, eventually it's going to begin to rot. Eventually it's going to begin to die. Eventually it's going to begin going towards the negative. And our minds are no different. If we just leave our minds up to their own devices, they're automatically going to begin to favor the negative. Now we're going to do question number 3. Also, just really quick, if you have any questions on anything that I'm going over right now as we're going through it, then you can still type your questions into the question and answer box, and I'll try to answer some of those questions before we close out today. I know we only have about 10 more minutes. Let's see. I'm trying to look at my notes for this next question. I don't think that we're going to be able to fit it all in the next 10 minutes, but I'm at least going to go ahead and start it. So the battle for your mind. How do I develop that true intimacy with God when I have this battle going on in my mind that makes me feel that I am not as close to God as I truly want to be in my heart and mind. I pray constantly for a mind that stayed on God. You know, I want to start this off with a scripture. And I'm looking at 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And again, that was 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Any time a thought comes in our minds that is counter to God's promises is something that's exalting itself against the knowledge of God. Many times we don't think of that. Anything that comes into our mind, any thought that tries to enter our mind that goes against God's promises, you know, if we're having thoughts that say you're going to be broke for the rest of your life and God promises you that you'll owe no, you know, that you can get out of debt, you don't have to owe anybody anything, you can have prosperity, and he promises that, you know, if you pay your tithes, he'll open up the windows of heaven. You know, when those thoughts start coming in your mind that are counter to God's word, then we have to realize that that thought is trying to exalt itself up against the true knowledge of God. It's trying to raise itself up higher in your brain than your knowledge of who God is and who he says you are in him. And so we have to recognize those thoughts as a threat. You know, that scripture says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So that scripture is obviously talking about, you know, the fact that we are going to have to be active. We are going to have to use, you know, what are the weapons of our warfare? The weapons of our warfare, you know, as they talk about in Ephesians 6, are the word of God. You know, that the word of God is our major weapon because it's our offensive weapon. It's our sword. And so when we begin to have these thoughts that begin to exalt themselves up against the word of God and who God is and who God says that you are, then we have to begin pulling down those thoughts. We have to begin rebuking those thoughts. You know, it says, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, to the obedience of God's word. You know, bring every thought in your mind into obedience with God's word. What does that mean? As soon as that thought jumps in your mind and you realize that it's counter to God's word, then stopping and saying, you know what, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus, and begin to speak out of your mouth what God's word says about that situation. And then as you do that, you'll begin to reprogram your brain. You'll begin to reprogram your mind. You'll begin to renew your mind. Why? Because the first thing you have to do in order to ward off an attack is to recognize it. And so when you recognize that as an attack, you're calling the enemy out. You're saying, you know what, I'm not going to allow that thought to stay in my mind. I rebuke that thought in the name of Jesus. Greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. You know, and begin speaking God's word out of your mouth. Now, I did get a question earlier that asked, you know, about sometimes it's hard to remain, it's hard to remember the actual verse and the actual you know, scripture, chapter and verse and things like that when you're memorizing scripture. But remember that it's when you're doing it in terms of meditative purposes, it really doesn't matter what the actual chapter and verse is. The only time that it's really, really important that you remember chapter and verse is when you're ministering to someone else, is when you're sharing God's word, because then you want them to be able to go back and look it up for themselves so they can study it and they can study it in context. But when you're just working on you, we don't have to be so concerned with remembering chapter and verse. Sometimes we can get caught up on those details, and I really think that God wants to just release us from a lot of unnecessary stresses that we've had in the past. You know, a lot of times in the church, we just get so wrapped up in all of these details, and we forget to look at the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is that, you know, what's going to change you? Is the actual chapter and verse going to change you, or is the actual word of God going to change you? And it's the word of God that's really going to change you from the inside out. Let's see. the other thing that I wanted to say about that, I know we're running out of time, so I'm kind of skimming my notes really quickly to make sure that I get in all the things that I really wanted to include about that. The other thing that I wanted to include, and this is something that I talked about, for those of you who are in the School of the Spirit, this is something that I talked about in our last lesson on controlling your thoughts, the last lesson that we did on that earlier this week. We have to begin thinking about our brains and thinking about our minds as valuable territory in the battle between God and Satan. We have to begin thinking about our minds like that. You know, our minds, our mind is a battlefield. Our mind is a place where wars are fought. You know, battles are won and lost based on our thoughts, based on our thought processes, based on whether or not we are able to renew our mind and based on whether or not we're able to stay focused on God's word and staying focused on God's promises. You know, for instance, if something comes up and God asks you, you know, you feel in your heart that God's telling you to do something, but you're still wishy-washy and you're wondering, you know, does God really speak to me? And, you know, I don't even know if God really even talks to me, you know, that's probably just me in my own mind telling me to do that. Well, all of a sudden, you know, if God was asking you to do something for someone else, you've just pretty much cost that person, you could have cost that person their victory because you allowed your thoughts to get in the way of what God was trying to do or what God wanted to do in that person's life. Now, yeah, God can use someone else and he can find another way to do it, but you were the person that he had chosen to do that. And so many times our thoughts don't just steal our own victory, which they do very often, but they can also steal the victory of other people based on what God wants to do in their lives. Okay, let's go ahead and start answering some questions since we only have a few minutes left. Oh, this is what someone was saying. Take a personal inventory on a regular basis and ask yourself, what have I been thinking about? Spend time examining your thought life. That's a good thing to do. And I think that's so key, that we have to stop and think about what we're thinking about. You know, I've been talking about that as well in the school. You know, we have to stop and think about what are we thinking about. We can't just be passive. We can't just let our thoughts run away with themselves and just let ourselves think whatever's going through our minds. You know, a lot of times we think that we can't, you know, I can't control what I think, or I can't control how I feel. Well, really, that's just a deception of the enemy. You can control what you think, and you can learn how to control what you feel. And, of course, I don't have enough time to go into all that here because we only have two more minutes. But also, I do talk a little bit more about that in the video that you get with the celebration. So if you aren't already registered for the celebration, I definitely recommend that you do that. You can either just click the little button that you see on your screen, and it'll open up the page to register for the celebration. It'll actually open up the beginning of that lesson as well. Or you can go to celebrate.schoolofthespirit.org. Our next class will be on September 4th. And I'm not sure exactly what we'll be talking about yet. I still need to go through all the questions. I have about 150 or so questions that I'm pulling from, so I still need to go through them and pray over the questions and see what we'll focus on for our next class. But I do want to thank you for joining us today. But with all of that said, let's go ahead and just have our closing prayer, and then we will go ahead and close out. And like I said, if you are registered for the celebration, I'll have a copy of this in case you want to study it. I'll have a copy of this lesson on the celebration blog within the next few years. Rampant, who just follow their thoughts and emotions as if they have no control over their actions. Lord, we ask that you will help us to be led by your Spirit and not merely by our thoughts and our emotions, that you will fill us afresh and anew with your Holy Spirit, that it will just be running over. And so we ask for your joy and your peace today, Father. We ask for your love. We know that the answer to our unforgiveness and our anger is your love and your kindness. Hallelujah. We know that those are all fruits of your Holy Spirit. And so we thank you, Lord. We thank you for refilling us, for refreshing us, for renewing us in you, Lord God. And we praise you and we glorify you. In Jesus' mighty name, Amen. And I hope that you had a good time tonight learning about the Lord. And I look forward to talking with you more in a few weeks. So, God bless.